laugh with your wife and she can laugh at you, and I bet she does. Thanks, kids. Let's give them a round of applause, everyone. Our second guest is a man who battles constantly to get through the day. Alan, bring him out.
He wouldn't say boo to a goose, because he's probably afraid of geese. It's John.
Hello, John.
Hello, everyone.
So Alan says you're afraid of geese. Is that true?
No. Of course I'm not scared of geese.
Good.
Why, have you got some air?
No.
Good, because I am scared of ducks, and geese and ducks are very similar.
Why are you scared of ducks?
Vicious.
I could break a man's arm.
No, that's swans. But ducks have been known to eat toes. Only when pushed, but it is a fact nonetheless.
Surely this problem is easily fixed then. Just wear shoes when you're beside ducks.
Or carry a hammer. That solves a lot of problems, especially shelf-related ones.
This is merely the tip of the iceberg. I have many phobias and fears.
I see on your wire for backstage that you wanted nuts, so I brought you some Rebels.
No, I specifically asked for there not to be nuts. I don't do nuts.
Yeah, but these are nuts wrapped in chocolate.
Are you allergic?
Could be.
But you don't know?
People are, and I'm a person, so it's possible.
We could find out right now. That'd be exciting for the listeners.
We haven't got another guest lined up, so probably best not. I once bought ice cream from a shop in the Lakes and asked for mint choc chip, and the lady said, "Oh no, that's pistachio, but I've been selling it as mint all day. What am I like?" I imagined people just dropping down dead all over Keswick. Let's ask our audience if they have similar problems. Have we got anybody in the audience that has a phobia which affects their day-to-day life? Oh, we've got a hand up at the front here. Hello, fella. What's your name?
I'm Andy.
Hello, Andy. And what's your phobia?
I'm terrified of vinegar. Really?
Wow. And how does that manifest itself? Like, if I say I had, like, some lovely glistening chips right here, and I had salt and vinegar on, how would it upset you?
Well, one of us would have to move away.
Well, I'm doing a show. Is it the smell or the taste or all of the above?
Everything about it. I'm terrified to get back in it on me. The smell makes me frightened. Just looking at bottles of vinegar in the shop.
How can you knock vinegar? I understand it was that balsamic vinegar. You had that?
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, the posh one?
Yeah, that's horrible. It's like eating chips with an oil slick on.
It's not for chips.
What?
What is it for?
It's for salad.
No, that's salad cream. And do you live on your own?
No, I live with my missus and she loves vinegar. Yeah, she tried the balsamic vinegar thing, trying to get that by me, but nah.
She tried to get it by you. But so she has to live a vinegarless life, or does she go out like sly and have vinegar with other men?
No, she has vinegar and I have to keep away.
Does she have vinegar a lot?
Yeah, she does actually.
That's really interesting. Thank you very much for telling us your story. Thank you. Okay, let's get some more then. Who else have we got who's got phobias? Let's have a... Hello, love.
Hello.
So tell me, what's your phobia?
I have a fear of the number four.
How does that manifest itself in your life?
Well, if I'm, like, writing a list or whatever, I can't write the number four because just bad things happen with the number four.
If you write a list, what happens? Does it just, do you just have a gap between three and five, then?
No, I go 1, 2, 3, 3A, 5.
How long have you had this fear?
About 6 years.
Oh, didn't you want it to be four? 2 years ago, you must have hated that question.
You must really hate Channel 4 as well when that big four comes up and the thing made out of scaffolding.
This is Radio 4 now, but the number three, like, cancels it out. Like, number three's, like, a lot better than number four. So with this now, Radio 4, there's three components to the name. It's BBC, Radio 4.
Yeah,
so
I know exactly what you mean.
OK, came. Oh, we've got, oh, the hands are going up now. Now that you realise you're not the weirdest person in the room. Mine's just snakes, talk to me. So we've got a lady put the hand, oh, it's a fella. Hello, fella. Oh, it's, hello, love, what's your name?
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew. And what is your phobia?
I'm quite lucky because there's not many of them about, but puppets.
Puppets?
Yeah.
So does that mean that you can avoid that by just not going to puppet shows?
Yeah.
See, lady with the number fours, that's how it's done. That's how it's done. Say that again.
She's scared of toothbrushes.
Pass the mic across, love. I think Puppet Man just got let off the hook. You're scared of toothbrushes. What's your name, love?
Nikki.
Hello, Nikki. And your toothbrush, all toothbrushes?
No, it's the sound when people brush their teeth.
Okay.
So when I brush my teeth, it's okay because my mouth is closed. But
how'd you get the...
Hold up a minute.
How'd you get the brush
in? Show me how that works.
But when my friends know that I hate it, so they kind of run around after me brushing their teeth.
Do you all brush your teeth together, like, at the same time? And they're your friends, the ones that find the one thing that you hate and do it really close to your face.
It's really horrible, it makes me sick.
Okay, but you still brush your teeth?
Yeah, no, I brush my teeth. That's
good,
fine.
I was just expecting to see, like, green or black teeth. So do you two live together? Are you a couple? Ooh. Okay, this is a totally different story, but we're going to get it. Did you used to be a couple?
No.
Would you like to be a couple? That's the good thing, is they're both not doing anything. So, is this a date?
Or did something happen last night that you haven't told the other people?
I hope you brush your teeth in the morning.
We're not going out.
You're not going out?
No.
Okay. Look at his face, he looks gutted. Have you got any advice for the couple to be? Which clearly they are. Look at them, look at them. And then what's good is then when you split up, because you will. She's right, everybody does.
Everybody does.
When you split up, you could brush your teeth in her face and she could make a puppet of your head. Be a good way of getting back on each other, I reckon. Thank you very much to the lovely happy couple. Very much, kids. You guys are crackers. In a lovely way. So, John, back to you. What else are you scared of?
Well, the classics.
What, like Jane Eyre and Wuthering Heights?
No.
And...
ghosts, snakes, sharks.
Well, everyone's afraid of sharks.
Not on land. It was ever since my friend told me that sharks can survive in sewers. Every time I poo, I have a mental picture of a dirty, angry shark.
A mental picture.
Yeah. So you understand.
I understand about fears. I used to have many phobias.
Was one of them hunger?
Your fears seem quite reasonable to me, John.
Well, those ones are.
Oh, there are more.
There are the other food ones.
I wish I was afraid of food. Or at least that it was afraid of me. I wish it would hide behind fruit more often.
Cold meats. Don't like the wetness. Loose grapes. Why are they loose? Where's the stalk?
Fear comes from your early experiences, relationships, your childhood. For example, I have a fear of clowns.
Oh, from a children's party?
No, my father was a clown and he never took his makeup off, even when he was shouting at me. So, John, these fears of yours could come from your childhood. Think back. Are there any bad ducks in your past?
There was the time a duck ate my toe.
There is something called systematic desensitisation.
Is that where they put a spider on your hand if you hate spiders?
Exactly. You face your fears and you see that it's not that bad.
You're not going to offer me a revel again, are you?
No, I'm going to tell you about how I got over my fear of prostitutes.
No, you're not.
Did they put one on your hand? It's a shame we didn't have some of the things you're scared of with us.
What, like sparrows, Kendall mint cake, teeth, slinkies, plumbers, sand, eggs?
I've got some cold meat in my pocket.
tell me it's in a sandwich.
It's in a sandwich.
Is it?
No.
I mean, I just want a normal life. I'd like to be able to sit beside people with packed lunches in the park. I'd like to go up north, but I don't like the cold. And buy a lady flowers, but I'm scared of vases. I'd like to get married, but I'm afraid of relationships.
So you need to do everything gradually. Go to the Midlands. And take a lady to a graveyard. There are many flowers, but fewer vases. Okay, final words, everyone. Terry?
Just walk through a red light district a couple of times, get the feel of the place.
Marion?
Never laugh at clowns. You have no idea what their home life is like.
And my advice is just to put yourself in uncomfortable positions, but gradually. Sometimes I stand in my kitchen before a big shop and look at the empty cupboards. Let's give John a round of applause, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Sarah Millican support group. Join us next week where we'll be talking to Gerald, who thinks he's Robin Hood when actually he's just a thief. Good night.
Sarah Millican's support group was written by Sarah Millican and performed by Sarah Millican, Ruth Brash, Simon Day, Alan Dedicote, Margaret K. Bond-Smith, Tim Key and Harry Peacock. It was produced by Leanne Poop. Welcome to Sarah Millican's support group.
And welcome to Sarah Millican's support group. I hope you've done your homework this week. You were all supposed to make time to see or speak to a family member or close friend. I don't see my family as much as I'd like, but whenever I do, it's like an adrenaline shot. I went to see them this week, popped into the house that I grew up in, where there are still pen lines on the wall that mark my heights. Where I can run up the stairs without switching the lights on, but still get shouted at for running up the stairs without switching the lights on. I was tired when I went to see them, but within 5 minutes, I was playing the CD I'd made me mam, and we were dancing to Elvis so much, my sister said, smiling, "Mam will need physio this week because of you." Things really change at home. They're currently awaiting the delivery of a new microwave, finally getting rid of the one they got when I was 10 and got bullied for at school. That and the soda stream made me posh. The microwave still cooks but no longer pings and is the size of a tabletop. My sister is 5.5 years older than me. At an age when one of us might want to go trick-or-treating and the other wants to hang out with her friends, that gap is huge. She still took me out but made me walk behind her and a friend with me turnip. I used to think pumpkin was American for turnip. In it blew out every time I turned a corner. I was always envious of my sister. She had the bigger bedroom. The view out of the window looked like the opening credits of Coronation Street. Her baby photos were in an album, as opposed to my carrier bag of memories. There were things we did together. We had leotards and perfected the finishing stance of a gymnastic routine. Never did any gymnastics, but we nailed the ta-da bit at the end. She excelled in sport and music, was in both the netball and rounders teams, and played the flute in the local orchestra. I was the last to be picked in PE, and took a dusty clarinet box into my music teacher after the summer holidays and tried to squeeze a note out. If only you could do that with old boyfriends. You haven't touched him for 3 months, have you? No. Do you want to stop? Yes, please. What I love about having a sister is that she has to love me no matter what. Even when my rabbit dug up the corpse of her hamster. And she taught me that the best way to get a man to let you out at a junction is to lick your lips at him. And that's a life lesson this part-time feminist will never forget. Speaking of families, it's time the other two members of the support group team came out. I'm sure they've got families as well. First up is our resident counsellor. You know the book Counselling for Beginners? She hasn't even read that. Alan, bring her out.
She's looking for love, but only 3 minutes at a time. It's Marion.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Marion. How are you?
Today isn't about me.
Okay, but one night was clearly about you. According to Alan, you've been speed dating. Unless you've been chatting up the man who waxes your tash again.
Eyebrows. I said eyebrows and I told you in confidence. Yes, I went speed dating this week. Terry came. It was like a works do.
Oh, a works do without me?
You have settled.
What?
Well, Terry and I are both single and looking for a match. You have realised your worth and settled before time ran out. You wouldn't have come speed dating anyway, would you?
Not even when I was single. I always worried for the other women. I've never had an interview and not got the job. I could totally nail that 3 minutes.
It's not like an interview.
It is. You ask them about the company, i.e. them. You tell them that your faults, if you have any at all, are being too punctual and hard-working. You're just going to make sure you don't tell them where you'd like to be in 5 years' time. That makes them run. How many texts did you get at the end of the night?
2 out of 15. One of them just wanted to keep crying. The other seemed very sweet, but he had a lot of baggage.
Oh, really? It's hard to start a relationship like that, isn't it?
Oh, no, he was on his way to the airport. Australia for 6 months. Just wanted adult cuddling till check-in time.
How did Terry get on? In fact, it's probably time we brought him out. Here's our other expert, the one who represents you, if you regularly disregard the highway code and charge people £50 for puking in your car. Alan, bring him out.
He only dates women who don't wear seatbelts. It's Terry!
Hello, I'm Terry and I drive a cab.
Hello, Terry.
Hello, Sarah, Marion.
How did you get on Thursday?
What, the pub?
I thought it was speed dating.
Who told you that?
Marion.
Well, there were lots of men sitting on chairs.
Yeah, it's called a pub, Marion. I wouldn't be at speed dating. I'm not allowed anymore, even though I am really good at it.
How are you really good at it? You're single.
The first one I went to, I was quicker than the 3 minutes. I just walked straight on the line and went, no, no, no. Turn you into the left. Oh, no. And no, you're joking, aren't you? Then someone told me you had to talk to them and that most men just tick all the boxes. I had my 3 questions ready. Number one, do you wear a seatbelt?
Isn't it illegal not to?
Exactly. Dangerous.
Stupid, more like.
Question two, fancy it, free, why not?
It's a wonder you haven't been plucked from the crowd.
Oh, I was plucked.
I think it's time we sorted out some problems. For our first story tonight, we have 2 guests. Alan, bring them out.
The grass is always greener in her brother's massive garden. It's Michael and Melissa.
Good evening.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Now, Michael and Melissa, what seems to be the problem?
Oh, I'm just here to support my brother. I'm fine.
I've got a good job in the city. I have a nice house in the country. I have a dear wife and some cherubic children. I have money in the bank and a nice car.
All right, mate, what's your problem? Can't keep things to yourself? Things going too well. I bet you can't tell me the quickest way out of Waterloo going north.
It's all right, fella. There's no need to feel threatened.
Is he threatening me?
No. At ease, soldier. Carry on, Michael.
Thank you. Didn't intend to just list my assets and life of wealth and luxury, merely to point out that I appear to have everything a man could possibly desire.
Have you got a quad bike?
No.
I have.
I've got a sit-on lawn, though. But even so, I remain unhappy.
Happiness is not always linked with wealth and prosperity.
That's a good point, Marion. Are you all right?
My little sister here has nothing, but she's always smiling.
Drugs.
I'm just a naturally happy person.
Why? Is it drugs? You can tell me I am a trained drug abuse counsellor.
No, you're not.
I have a leaflet for it. It's called, Is It Prescription? No? Then stop it.
I'm not on drugs. I just lead a very simple life. I don't have a lot of the worries Michael does.
Let's see if our lovely audience have had any similar experiences. We've got a nice lady in a nice stripy top who immediately looked to the floor. Hello, love.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Penny.
Penny?
Yeah.
Lovely name. And tell me, which family members have you seen recently?
My sister's come over from New York.
Oh, really? And this is your sister here? How long has it been since you saw your sister?
2 years.
2 years. You didn't know that. She told you that, didn't she? I'm not sure if that's a compliment. And our time flies when you're not here. Oh. So, and have you got big plans for what you're going to do? How long is she staying for?
2 weeks.
Two? No. you could sound a little happier. 2 weeks. Is she staying with you?
Yep.
Oh, that's why, isn't it? That's why, yes. She's in a hotel. 2 weeks. She's in the next room all the time. 2 weeks. And have you got any big plans for while she's here?
Chesington tomorrow.
That's a zoo, isn't it? Do they have animals in New York? They don't really, do they?
Yeah, they have the Bronx Zoo.
The Bronx Zoo?
Yeah.
And are they particularly scary animals in New York? I just assume they've all got flick knives. Is that right?
It's scarier outside of the zoo than it is inside.
So if you want to be safe, go to the zoo. That's a good tip, just in case anybody's thinking of going to New York. If you feel scared, get yourself in an enclosure with a lion. Thank you very much, Penny. Let's give her a round of applause for her message. Is there anyone in our audience who has been or is jealous of their sibling? We've got a few. Let's get... can we get a mic to this lady here? Is that all right? What's your name, love?
Kate.
Hello, Kate. And tell us, is it a brother or sister that you're jealous of?
A sister, younger sister.
Younger sister. And why are you jealous?
Because she's good at everything I'm really rubbish at.
Oh, like what? Give us an example.
I was always last to be picked for sport. My sister's really sporty. She's kind of 33 and she's on the netball team and the tennis team and she runs 10Ks.
Is she still at school?
No, she does it voluntarily, which is weird.
Netball's not allowed outside of school, is it? So is she doesn't have to repeat loads of years and she's just fit as hell. So she was in all the sports teams and still, does she still play them now then?
Oh yeah, she's playing netball now with a load of 18-year-olds, yeah.
All right.
Do they know that she's 33?
I think so.
Does she look incredibly young for her age?
She does look quite young for her age, which is another thing to be jealous about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I already hate her, to be honest, Kate. So what things is she not very good at that you could surpass her in?
She's not very good at reading.
Too, I know which one's going to come in more handy in life.
Can she write?
Yes. No, she's not illiterate. She's doing a PhD. She just hates reading.
She could just be doing a colouring in PhD. They probably do those now, don't they? Anything else that you're better on, do you think?
Lying, actually. I'm really good at lying and she's terrible. She can't lie to someone.
You haven't even got a sister, have you? Your name's not even Kate. What kind of lies do you tell? I'm intrigued.
Well, just in a kind of general, you know, social, your hair looks lovely this evening kind of lie. Meant generally.
Thought it did.
She can't ring in sick to work if she's not sick. Because she just sounds so unconvincing.
What's your general life when you call in sick to work?
Usually migraine.
Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? I've not thought of that. That's a good idea. So I think your skills of reading and being able to chuck a sickie are much more valuable than netball. I think Kate wins. Do we agree? Let's give a round of applause. Thank you very much. You're what a lovely audience you are. Thank you very much for that. So back to you, Michael. Why are you unhappy?
Melissa lives in this glorious flat share in London. She's a pokey little room full of her paintings. The only painting I seem to do is one of the spare rooms when another baby comes along. She is wonderful at it. It's very raw and intense.
I like to paint my feelings, mostly burnt sienna.
That's brown, pet.
To you. I live with four great friends. I have very few responsibilities, whereas Michael has a family.
I have a family who I love, but they take up all of my time.
And they are expensive, those tiny shoes you have to buy for them.
They are expensive.
Tiny shoes.
I have a mortgage on a big house. I work long hours to pay for the...
roll-top bath.
Yes, I put into a pension each month.
Oh, I don't have a pension.
You won't need one if you're mostly eating out tins. You'll die before pension age.
Yes, but truly, Michael is classic heart attack material.
I think we need a quiz. Oh.
For once, I think you're right.
It's called poor or stressed, which is best?
That's easy, neither.
You're not very good at quizzes, are you, pet?
This isn't a very good quiz.
There are some things I need to tell you before the quiz. The grass is never greener. It is always the same green. But sometimes, if you think his grass is really green and yours is quite brown, then the best grass is somewhere between the two, light green and trimmed.
Melissa hasn't got a garden.
So any grass would be nice.
Question one. Would you rather be hungry or crying?
Actually, I cry while I paint. Painting is very magenta.
Weirdly, I find crying makes me hungry. But I can't remember what hungry feels like, though.
Question two. Would you rather have a job or career?
I think the best route to happiness is to find something you love doing and trick someone into paying you to do it.
That's what I did. I passed my driving test and realised I love taking corners too quickly and swearing at cyclists. So I made it my career.
What is it that you do, Michael?
Not entirely sure. Work in an office and have meetings, but I don't really care about any of it. Do you know, I haven't picked my trumpet up for 11 years.
I picked up mine this morning.
Used to love that old thing. I couldn't even tell you where it is.
I'll tell you where it is.
It's in your cupboard of dreams.
Actually, it's in his shed.
Your cupboard of dreams is locked.
Where's the key?
That's a very good question. The key is within you. You are the key. You just need to find the combination.
I thought you said there was a key.
Don't look for her to make sense, Mike.
I thought she was supposed to help me.
And me.
What do you need help with? You get to express yourself. You live in the city. You don't have money worries.
Yes, I do. I work part-time and I live with four other people. I have to write my name on my muesli. On the bag, not the... I'd love a garden and a lawnmower I could sit on.
I'd love to find my trumpet again.
It's in the shed.
This is easy. Melissa, you could start painting portraits. Michael, you could start leaving your wife.
I love my wife. I mean, I could stop filling her with children, though. Then she could get a job when the children are in school and ease the pressure off me a little.
That's what I was about to say.
No, you were still trying to get him into an imaginary cupboard with multiple locks.
Actually, I could paint portraits.
Why don't you do one of the children while they're still cute and in baby gear? I'll pay you.
You don't need to pay me. How about you find your trumpet? That would make me happy.
I think it's time for final words. Terry?
You become a brilliant trumpet player and travel the world. No, leave your wife and start fresh with someone cheaper.
Marion?
Open the cupboard of dreams and make your brown grass a little greener.
My advice is to come together in a happy medium. Write down your goals and start achieving them, be they trumpet or lawnmower related. Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
Let's give him a round of applause, everyone. Well, I think it's time we introduce you to our next guest. Alan, bring her out.
She'd like to turn the volume down on the world. It's Janet.
Well, hello, everyone. Music's a bit loud, isn't it? I'm at the end of me tether.
Hello, Janet. Welcome to support group.
I didn't know there was going to be loads of people watching. It's a bit weird, isn't it? I'd have worn my best coat if I'd known.
You're chatty, aren't you?
That's what the girls at work say.
Don't you mean a bit common?
Down to earth. I like talking. My voice is the only sound I don't hate.
Clearly.
And this is your problem, isn't it? You want silence.
Yes. Modern life is just so noisy. I can't get away from it. I'm just looking forward to death, because I reckon it's quiet there.
From what I've heard, heaven is chock full of harps, but they sound lovely.
Oh, I hate harps. I once saw a woman playing harp in the shopping precinct. She had that look on her face that people get when they're playing an instrument they know you've only seen in the cinema. And I had some scissors in me bag. She never darkened Shoe's own door again.
You might want to curb behaviour like that. Hell is much noisier, according to the brochures.
The brochures? It's not a holiday destination. You can't go on TripAdvisor and read comments from murderers about how hell wasn't really finished and looked like a building site.
I don't prescribe to heaven and hell, really. I think when you die, you just stop living. Everything goes lovely and quiet and people stop asking you if they can go on their break or if they can have their inhalers back. I think death is like a lovely nap in the park, only all the birds are dead and children are muffled.
That sounds like my park. see what our audience thinks. Which one thing is missing from your life? Have you got any hands up? Let's have a look. Hello, what's your name, love?
My name's Dave.
Hello, Dave. And what is missing from your life?
Hair.
Oh. To be honest, I could have told you that, but it was rude and it's the radio. How long ago did you lose your hair?
Oh, it started drifting away towards my late teens.
Drifting? How long was it?
It was down the middle of my back.
Wow.
But from your head, not...
I quite like a hairy back on a man. Yeah. I mean, obviously on a man. I don't know why I said that. Like, I made one myself.
It grows everywhere else except on my head.
Give us five places it grows. Ears.
Ears. Nose. Back.
Toes.
You got it. One more.
One more.
No legs.
A lot of men have that bit that's rubbed off on their trousers. Have you ever noticed that? They have like a little bald bit where the trousers... No? Okay.
Yeah, I've got...
See, it's weird because I'm looking at you now. I think you look great. But if I saw a photo of you with hair, I think you'd probably look weird. That's how it works, isn't it?
Yes. Often people who you've only ever known as bald look better bald.
What? Generally, you put hair on, you look better. I think Dave would agree with that. If I was to get Dave a selection of wigs, he'd probably think, do you know what, I'll have this one.
I disagree. I fancy Patrick Stewart. And that's because he's got that amazing...
No, it's because he's in Star Trek.
No, it's his head. It's really lovely head.
Stewart was hard because he had a good bald head.
Yes, a really good bald head.
And that's very rare. Most people's heads are all bumpy with warts on and all that.
I think Dave's looks pretty good. Is it smooth?
It's got a few lumps and bumps.
Yeah.
But not visible bumps.
But not from there.
No. I can't see anything. You look lovely.
Thank you.
Well, we do think you look lovely. And thank you very much for telling us your story. Let's give him a round of applause. Who else have we got? Hello, Pet. What's your name?
May.
Hello, May. What a lovely name. And tell me, what is missing from your life?
A sibling.
Oh. So were you, and how old are you? You look quite young.
14.
14. Oh, bless you. Have you got a parent with you?
Yeah.
Who's with you?
My mum and my dad.
Do you want to put your mum on? Hello, mum.
Hello.
Hello. You've still got time, haven't you?
No.
Crank another one out. 14-year age gap's not too bad, is it?
No, I don't think so.
No, and do you have you enjoyed having an only child? Because you get to just spend all of your time and energy on one, don't you?
Yeah, it's nice, and I don't think she fully realises how fewer clothes and bits and pieces she would have if she had a sibling.
Yes, she'd have to wear other people's pants. That's what happens. I had to wear other people's pants. I mean, like, they were washed in that. I'm not, you know. Let's give May a round of applause and her mum as well. Thank you very much. Okay, let's have one more. Who else have we got? Let's have a look. We've got a lady at the front. Hello, love. What's your name?
Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. And tell me, what is missing from your life?
A cleaner.
A cleaner?
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And tell me what difference that would make to your life.
Well, I have a 5-year-old little girl who told our babysitter last weekend that I needed to watch more of those programmes.
Instead of how clean is your house type of programme. So she told your babysitter.
Yeah.
And what did you do? Obviously, your babysitter relayed this to you.
After having a guided tour of the house.
God. She a bit of a madam, your 5-year-old?
No, not really.
Really?
It's actually not that bad.
Do we need to get her taken off you?
May would love to have her, I'm sure.
Is she a bit lippy, your 5-year-old?
No, not really.
Not really?
No.
Just a bit judgmental on your cleaning. And she's 5.
Yeah.
How old do kids have to be before you can put a duster in the hand? 6. Can you get her, like, a little kiddie hoover just so she gets
practice?
She's
in training.
She's in training? How are you training her up?
We're not playing this week. We're in her house cleaning.
So you could make it into a game, though, couldn't you? That would be brilliant. And then you wouldn't need a cleaner. Or, I mean, to be honest, if she's that adult, you wouldn't even need a babysitter. You could just leave her on her own. Just give her a list of chores and go to work.
Is she finally the reason to have children?
I'm growing a cleaner inside my belly. Presumably when they're babies, you can just put, like, them in a duster and then just do that. Can you do that on the floor? Just put your foot on them and move it around. Thank you very much, love. Let's give everybody a round of applause. So, Janet, back to you. There must be some sounds that you do like, though.
The mewling of a newborn kitten.
Oh, I love that.
Needy. It wants something. They always want something.
A well-timed car horn. Just as a student is walking past the front of the car. If you can get him to scream, the other cabbies give you 10 points.
What do you win at the end?
Respect.
No kittens, no car horns.
What about sweet nothings?
Been married 30 years. I can't even hear him anymore. I've tuned him out. Apart from his bleeding snoring, that is.
You live in London, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you're never more than 5 seconds away from a siren. I tested it once. I probably should have rung all them ambulances, but I was trying to prove a point to the lads.
Yeah, I live in London. I work in a factory. I have a son who plays the drums badly, a husband who snores, and my neighbour's allergic to her own dog. So it's bark, cough, sneeze, bark. And to top it all off, the exhaust's gone on my car, so that sounds like a bleeding tank.
I love a bit of noise, me. When I'm on my own, I put the telly on loud, even if I'm not watching it.
Oh, like for a bit of company?
No, stop the woman next door popping in for a chat. If I put Babe Station on really loud, she thinks I've got a bird in there and doesn't bother me. Well, she sometimes slides a note under the door that says, hope your girlfriend feels better in the morning. Sounds like she's got that bug that's been going round.
Oh, I love how quiet my flat is. The odd creaking radiator or the sloshing of the washing machine, but that's it. I had to move a clock out of my bedroom because it was ticking.
How can I get that? That's all I want. A tickless clock and a drumless house.
We can follow the rules in my guide to an easier life. It's called When You Want Everyone to Go Away, but not in a suicide-y way. The first option is to locate a room just for you and seal yourself in it. This is how the Scottish survive the winter. The second option is to become nocturnal, but that requires an operation on your eyes. The third option is to become a recluse. For that, you need to be able to order food online and turn down film premieres.
Well, you could just find a nice park for your break at work. Midweek in a park during term time can be a thin slice of heaven. The park I disappear into only had one annoying man with a remote-controlled aeroplane, and he doesn't go anymore since I marched over to him from a mile away and had a word. He did get his own back, though, by hovering over me as I walked away. With the plane, not him.
You lot must have heard about noise-cancelling headphones. They only block out the routine humdrum background noise. I got them for when I was my sister's birthing partner. God. Mum's an half-maker Dean. I just sat there with my book until it was over.
I might never need to shout at a man in a high-vis jacket again.
Thank you so much. Noise-cancelling headphones, what a good idea. Now I can stop mastering me loud tut for the quiet coach.
You're welcome. Final words. Marion?
Go nocturnal. I know someone who can adapt your eyes to night vision for £50.
Terry?
Headphones and sell the drum kit.
Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded very loudly as well.
Let's give Janet a very quiet round of applause. Thank you so much for joining us on Sarah Millican's support group. What have we learnt? That the grass is always the same green on the other side, that cupboards can be fictional, and that even good drums are still drums. Join us next week when we meet Amy, whose streamlined wag look means her boyfriend keeps picking up the wrong girl at the station. Good night.
Sarah Millican's support group was written by Sarah Millican and performed by Sarah Millican, Ruth Bratt, Simon Day, Alan Dedicote, Isabel Fay, Miles Jupp and Annie Aldington. It was produced by Leanne Coop. Welcome to Sarah Millican's support group.
Hello and welcome. welcome to this week's Sarah Millican support group. Thanks very much for coming. As this is the last episode of this series, we aim to sort out all of your problems by the end of the show. Let's do some quickfire ones now. Pam with the hairs, you work from home, so just let them grow in. Andrea with the crying, stop drinking all the wine because you seem to turn it into tears. And Colin, we're sending someone out to lube the wardrobe. We'll get you out, I promise. People always say when you complain about something that you should think of people less fortunate than yourself. The poor, the hungry, the sad. That's all fine, but something else that I find works a treat is to think of yourself 10 years ago. When I get tired and tetchy, first of all, I check if I'm hungry, which I usually am. If I still want to cry and punch people after a decent-sized sandwich, then it's probably worth remembering back to a time when I had more to complain about. 10 years ago, I was 25, and yes, easily 3 stone lighter. When I look at old photos, I convince myself that I was gangly and all elbows. The reason I was skinny wasn't because I watched my figure or because I was naturally a skinny mini. Nope, it was because I was skint. The reason I'm more rounded now is that sometimes I'll have a pasty and a sandwich. And a pie and a cake. My hair wasn't as good as I cut it myself. I was married to my first love who, unbeknown to me, was starting to find that my every word grated on him. I had a job that I hated so much as to try and get knocked over on the way into work. It was a really busy road and I just wanted a couple of months off. The phone box is still there that I used to cry in at 10 to 9 every day. Then at 29, things changed. I was dumped. I picked myself up, bought a bright red coat. Now, I sometimes wear a hat when it's not even cold. I know, like a fashion hat. The sort that confident girls wear. The best thing is, I'm not even bothered if I look like an idiot. Creatively, the tap is always on. I write every day, which keeps me sane. I go down for breakfast when staying in hotels wearing eyeliner, but yesterday's socks. I keep the car windows wound down at the lights even when boom, boom, shake the room is belting out. Age gives you confidence, gives you focus, gives you life experience. Let's bring out our regular experts. First up, the one we all listen to with one ear while thinking about what to have for tea. Alan, bring her out.
She's got a face for radio and hands for a chip shop. It's Marion.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Marion. How are you?
Today isn't about me. It's about all of the suffering.
That's very selfless of you.
There are many suffering in this world. There'll be people in this room who don't have a bread maker, who use fitted sheets, who still watch Friends, who don't have John Lewis on speed dial.
Poor buggers. My mum and dad had their first John Lewis delivery this week. They stood at the window so they could see the lorry when it approached. In it was a new freezer and a painting. My mum said it was a nude, and when I said a woman, she said, of course, with a slightly disgusted face.
Quite right. I can barely look at a naked man. I have to do it with my hands, you know, like I'm blind.
That would be a very different video for Lionel Richie's Hello. So who were you 10 years ago? Were you much different to now?
Oh, yes. I hadn't mastered the art of fixing people. I used to take them apart and then just look at the pieces. There aren't instructions for the mind.
Well, there probably are, but there'll be big doctory textbooks. My dad once took the Hoover apart on the kitchen bench and we had copper wiring in the mince that night.
People would come to me looking for help. They would seek me out.
Well, before you were a counsellor, did you just have one of those faces?
I had a badge that said, happy to help.
You worked in Asda?
Yes.
I used to work in a shop.
I know.
Oh, I didn't think I told you.
No, you haven't. You've just got one of those faces. The sort that people have who are really proud of the fact that they don't rely on the till to work out the change.
You're dead right. My till was spot on every night. I think I need backup. Let's bring out our other expert. He is the voice of the people, so you only have yourselves to blame. Alan, bring him out.
He's always been a lady killer, but only in a good way. It's Terry.
Hello, ladies. Hello, everyone. I'm Terry and I drive a cab.
Hello, Terry. Have you had a good week, pet?
Yes, I have, thanks. I spent the day with my old man on Sunday. Lovely it was. I took him on a tour of London in a cab.
Oh, how lovely. You must take us on that tour.
I'm not sure it's your sort of thing.
Nonsense. I love London. I'm never happier than when I'm looking at the beautiful architecture in the sunshine.
Never happier?
Well, inhaling in Waitrose comes first, obviously.
I mostly took my dad round the old haunts, pubs we used to get chased out of, jobs we lost, and, of course, we pointed out birds we fancy to each other. It's what we've always done. He's still a man. The engine might have packed up, but he still likes to polish the bumper.
What sort of jobs did you lose? We've been talking about where we were 10 years ago.
Oh, I've done all sorts. Let's see, 10 years ago, that was probably when I was at the refuge.
You were living in a refuge?
No, I worked at a women's refuge.
For many relationships?
Not the time and the place, really. Don't judge other people by your own standards. I was just a very high shoulder to cry on.
That sounds lovely. Why did you leave?
Did you get sacked?
No, I started to find it too emotional. And as my dad always says, emotions are for women, sausages are for men.
Wise words. I think it's time we fixed the public. Our first guest in today's show is having problems at work. Alan, let's bring her out.
Don't get her mad, or she'll squirt her flower at you. It's Judy.
Hello, Judy.
I'm not a clown.
Okay. But you are in the circus.
Yeah, but clown school is like a fortnight. My job is a lot more skilled.
Are you the bearded lady, or is that just...
I'm a trapeze artist.
Really? Even with that cast on?
Well, I'm on the sick at the minute. Just had some more shoulder surgery. I'll be writer's rain in a few weeks. It's the girl they got filling in for me that's my problem.
She less butch?
Not butch. I'm strong.
Sturdy, like a big horse.
Exactly.
So this new girl, is she getting her feet under the table?
She's already added tassels to my swing.
Ooh.
No.
Okay.
I've been a trapeze artist since I passed my test when I was 6. That's nearly 30 years. I've done it all. I've swung, I've caught other people, I've swung back. I wasn't even phased when they brought in the theory test last year. I'm not very good with words, but I got a pass. It was multiple choice. Things like A, would you drop your colleagues? B, keep hold of your colleague? Or C, Thursday? I've nailed this job. And now, some 13-year-old upstart waltzes in. She's a trained dancer. She waltzes in and nicks my job.
Sounds to me like you feel a little bit threatened. Let's see if our audience have any similar experiences. How have people in the audience dealt with their bullies? Let's have a look. See, have we got any arms up? Let's have a look. What's your name, love?
Liz.
Nice to meet you, Liz. And tell us your story.
Yeah, I was bullied at high school and the school did nothing. They didn't help, didn't intervene. And my dad said to me, if you want to stop it, you've got to do it yourself. Except I panicked and I broke her nose and I got suspended. She never came near me again.
Well, so, no, you wouldn't, would you, if you just said your nose broke?
Is that always how you react in a panicky situation?
No.
How did you... Can you explain what the circumstances were that led you to break her nose?
She'd bullied me for about 2 years, like emotional bullying, wasn't physical.
Well, until you...
You up the ante.
And I went off sick because of the stress, and when I came back, my first day back, she started in on me again. And I thought, I've had enough, and I wanted to stop her. Unfortunately, I stopped her a bit too hard. I was only 13. I was very young and didn't know. So
but
I now
very
tell...
strong. That's
yeah. But I now tell my children physical abuse isn't the answer, though.
What was your parents' reaction to that? Were they proud of you or were they, you know, appalled by you?
No, my dad was really proud, but I...
My dad was proud.
Of course
my dad
he was.
She's my bane.
Well, my dad was a policeman. He was a police commander.
Age you all up, but have you had any school reunions since? I'd like to see if she turned up.
I found her on Facebook about 2 years ago.
Did you
but
pull
I haven't
that
added
really
her.
Hard?
I haven't added her.
What a nose look like in a photo, still bent like that. Charlie Magri.
That is a brilliant story. Thank you very much, Liz. Let's go a round of applause. Now, who else have we got who's dealt with a bully? Let's get a mic to you. Hello, pet. And tell us what your story is.
Years ago, I was a student nurse in London, and we had what was called a night superintendent in those days, who looked like Methuselah to us, but he was probably only about 40. But he was a dreadful bully, and he used to send all the students on errands. We were frightened of him. And if you couldn't do what he'd asked you to do, he'd say, just use your initiative. And he was also, unfortunately, a dreadful lech. He was always in linen cupboards with nurses and condoms.
Is that a euphemism?
You never guess who was in my linen cupboard last night.
Are you sure you weren't just in a carry-on film and you didn't realise?
So he was quite sort of pervy with the nurses?
Absolutely, yes.
So how did he get his comeuppance?
Well, one of the nights I was on an obstetric ward, and he...
What is that?
Babies.
Wait, thank you.
Yeah, midwifery.
Don't look at me like I'm weird. I don't parade myself around hospitals checking out the wards. That's what you lot clearly do, and that makes you weirder than me. Shut up. So he was on the obstetrics ward, which I understand is the baby ward. Anybody didn't know.
I thought, I've had enough of this. And I asked him, would he like a nice cup of coffee? And he said, because he was always ordering us around and asking us to make coffee and tea, etc. So I said, I'll make you a nice milky cup of coffee. So I made him this lovely cup of coffee. And he drank it and he said, oh, that was really lovely. So I said, well, that's great. I said, because you're always telling us to use our initiative. And we'd run out of milk, so I made it with breast milk.
I'd have had a cappuccino.
And what was his response to that when he found out what you'd done?
He was sick.
Yeah, you won! Well, so let's give Sue a round of applause. That's awesome. What a lovely audience you are. Thank you very much for that. So, back to Judy. Marion, what do you think?
You said this girl was 13. Is it her youth that bothers you?
Partly. They seem to think because she's younger that she's better than me. She doesn't even use talc, for God's sake. She said her hands don't get as sweaty as mine, and that is on her CV. Unnaturally dry hands, colon, good for gripping.
What did you say her name was?
She's 13. She's 13 and amazing. But I've been with the same circus for 30 years. My mum brought me up in the circus. She started off in the office doing a bit of typing. They saw how good she was at dealing with the public and they put her in a lion cage.
I thought animals had been banned from the circus.
Well, they have now, yeah. I mean, you say banned, we say sacked. They were just other members of staff to us. We shared dressing rooms with them. Sad day when they left. They all got new jobs, though, in zoos and safari parks. Not as well paid as the circus, but enough to pay for their digs. One of the lions took off abroad. Went to look for his family, we think.
So what is the problem exactly? Ageism in the circus?
It's not across the board. Brian, the strong man, is 50 this year. His stomach... still rock hard.
There was a strong man at the last circus I went to. They drove a truck over him and I found it really sexy. I knew I liked clever, funny men, but had no idea that being a bit like a road was also on my ticky list.
So sexism then?
I suppose so, yeah.
Well, this is Terry's forte. Well,
sexism certainly is. It was my specialist subject of Mastermind. They thought I was doing the history of it, but instead I just insulted all the women in the audience.
Funnily enough, the monkey world is similarly ageist and sexist. In the monkey world, the older, thicker-set females form a coalition and remove power from the head male. Are there any other women at work who are experiencing similar problems to you?
There's a
20-year-old clown called Shirley. She drives the clown car too slow and has had to have her big shoes adapted. They say she's too expensive, but she is hilarious. You know, she had a nose and tash attached to her very vocals. That's dedication. It's just a matter of time before she squirts her flower and her hip pops out.
I think the two of you could band together and take down the circus. Or take option C, which is to get different jobs.
I'm not sure what transferable skills you have.
Size of her arm, she could retrain as an odd carrier.
Or get another job within the circus like your mum did.
She does have the hair-growing skills to get in a freak show. I can tell that just from here.
Circuses are phasing out these days. Gone are the days when audiences oohed and aahed at me holding onto a swing with only my thighs. Anne Widdecombe can do that now.
Have a leaflet for this.
What, for ageism in the workplace, or sexism, or for how to keep your job in the face of adversity?
No, it's called Jobs for Women Built Like Men. You could be a builder, yes, but top of the list is teacher. Those arms could make a great headlock.
What about strip club?
Do you think there's a market for women like me?
Good God, no. You could be one of those fellows who shout at you for touching.
You could talk to your boss. You could always pair up with this young whippersnapper.
I have always been the flyer, not the anchor, hence the dislocated shoulders.
I think you'd make a pretty good anchor. Final words, everyone? Marion?
Listen to the monkeys and take the swines down.
Terry?
Get yourself a curly ear wire and head on down to legs 11. You might even make friends with strippers, and who doesn't want to do that?
Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
I think you should talk to this young girl. Swing her about a bit. See if it works.
Thank you, everyone. Oh, these things were so much easier when we were allowed lions.
Thank you very much. Let's give her a round of applause. Our next guest is on the hunt for someone pretty special. Alan, bring him out.
He still hasn't found what he's looking for. It's Evan.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Evan. Who is it that you're looking for, pet?
Is it a boyfriend?
No, it's not a boyfriend.
It's not a girlfriend, is it?
No.
I knew it.
It's actually my dad that I'm looking for. I've never known him. It was always just me and Mam growing up, and while I was brilliant, I feel it's time to seek out my father.
Do you need a kidney? That's the primary reason that people seek out their birth parent. That's why Cilla Black's Surprise Surprise was taken off the air. Every Sunday you'd watch and cry as family members hugged like they really had missed each other. According to my friend Pat, who worked as a counsellor on the show, as soon as they went backstage, the talk changed from "It's been so long" to "How are your kidneys?"
No, I don't need a kidney, although it would be nice to know about any health problems come in my way.
Well, you're a bloke. It's all baldness and lump chicken. Even I can tell you that.
Tell us your story, pet.
Well, I started searching for my dad when I was 18. Found him a couple of years later.
So you know where he lives. Which zone is it? I hope for your sake it's 1 to 4.
Been sitting on the information for 5 years now. I get annual updates about him from the agency. He's done a lot of different jobs.
Flaky.
Versatile.
Sacked a lot.
He is in and out of relationships.
Unreliable.
Ladies' man.
Normal.
He doesn't have any other children.
That he knows of.
That he knows of.
Careful and sensible.
Decided it is time to meet him, but I'm worried we'll have nothing in common. He does seem to have worked his whole life, whereas I haven't really. I've been at uni for years.
Did you actually repeat a year? I had to do that at school a couple of times.
No, studying for a second degree. Nailed gardening, so I'm doing pottery now. Problem is, I don't know what to do with my life, so I just keep doing courses. I've done A-levels in touch typing, astrology, crazy golf. Got an A in that one. Dad's so hard-working, I'm worried he's not going to understand.
He needs to get to know you. Then he'll decide whether he likes you or not.
That's not very comforting, Marion.
Well, that's the way it works. You can't like somebody just because you meet them. We've proved that.
That's true. Let's ask our audience if they have any advice that could help you, Evan. Has anybody got any stories about how they've bettered their relationship with their parent? Let's have a look. Oh, we have got a hand. Sorry, I didn't see you, love. What's your name, pet?
It's Steve.
Hello, Steve. And tell us your story. Which parent was it?
It was my father. After my mother's death, he was having a very hard time getting over the grieving. All of the family were on at him to sort of take a break, get away from the house for a little while. And eventually I managed to persuade him to spend some time with his cousins down in Exeter. So